Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today. What I'd like to do today is talk about a project that we started several years ago that has been funded by Cotton Incorporated, and we do appreciate the funding we've received over the years for this particular project. What we're interested in is looking at diversity in cotton pollen and its ability to move from a parent plant out into the environment. Cotton flowers bloom for one day. Because of the brief window of time available for pollination to occur, the pollen must be ready to germinate rapidly upon contact with the stylar tissues. Cotton pollen is partially hydrated, and which accelerates the germination process, but may predispose the pollen grain to increase sensitivity to temperature and relative humidity fluctuations. This study that I'll talk about today is a continuation of an ongoing project, and primarily we will focus on the evaluation of the reproductive competitiveness of mature pollen from sick cotton lines with known dehydration differences and dehydration stress tolerance. And we'll give you some preliminary results of a field study we just performed this past summer, where we're comparing outflow of genes from these six lines, both under irrigated and dryland conditions, and looking to see, is there, in fact, genetic diversity for gene flow from these particular six varieties. This work began some years ago as a parallel project funded by Cotton Incorporated. My end was to look at the physiology of abiotic stress differences among the germplasm. Richard Percy in Maricopa, Arizona at the time, now at College Station, was working on the genetics of heat stress tolerance in the field. The lines that we're working with are a Stoneville 474, Sherbro 248, Delta Pine 565, New Mexico 67, Acala Maxa, and Phytogen 72. The Acala Maxa and Phytogen 72 were incorporated because they both showed heat sensitivity in Richard's studies in Arizona, and his measure of heat sensitivity was pollen dehiscence from the anthers. The Stoneville 474, Sherbro 248 and Delta Pine 565 had enhanced heat tolerance in Arizona, and the New Mexico 67 had some rather interesting fiber quality properties. We ran these through our in vitro analysis and looked at germination of the particular pollens. If I can get the arrow to work, there it is. Okay. What we wanted to show you here is when we put them on our germination media, we saw really dramatic differences in the percent germination of the pollen within a 1 hour period of time. The Acala Maxa, Phytogen, Stoneville, and Sherbro showed rather rapid germination, yet the Delta Pine 565 in New Mexico showed rather poor germination. Only 10% of the population showed any emergence of pollen tubes during this period of time. And we were really interested in this particular component. Now, we have gone through and actually looked at the heat tolerance of these individual lines by taking the pollen, heating it at high temperature, putting it back on the media, and looking at the depression of the percent germination. And what we found was that all six of these lines, the mature pollen, showed equal sensitivity to heat. But we see rather dramatic differences in their ability to germinate on our particular media. And so we were interested in this. And one of the things we wanted to see was, well, is it perhaps a difference in the ability to take up water? The way we tested this is we knew from earlier work that you could take cotton pollen, put it in water, it would rapidly hydrate, swell to the point where it would rupture, and so you could have water uptake very quickly. We went in and took 0.8 molar sucrose solutions, put the pollen grains in those solutions, and looked at the time it took for the first pollen grain to rupture. And as the lower graph shows you dramatic differences in the time it takes for these pollen grains to rupture. You can see that the Phytogen 72 and the Acala Maxa ruptured within 2 to 3 minutes, yet the Delta Pine 565, New Mexico 67 took over 4 minutes before they would show the first pollen grain rupture. And the Stoneville 474 and Sherbro 248 were intermediate in this process. Now, what we've done over the years is looked at various aspects of this, and it seems that these are breaking into three separate classes of pollen. We have one set, the Acala Maxa and Phytogen 72 pollen, which is very sensitive to water loss, yet it can also take up water very quickly. So there seems to be very little barrier for water movement in and out of these pollen grains. The Delta Pine 565 and the New Mexico 67 seem to have barriers for water outtake or water loss as well. And then the Stoneville 474 and Suregrow 248 tend to have other mechanisms that we think actually may be related to internal osmotic potentials that may be affecting water movement in and out of those particular pollen grains. Now, what we wanted to do was ask the question, what impact does this have on germination and competitiveness? If one, in fact, in our media, we get poor germination of the Delta Pine in New Mexico compared to the Acala Maxa, will this have an impact if we go to do breeding studies, say, under high humidity conditions where we might not have a humidity limitation? This graph shows you the effect of humidity itself on the pollen grains. The graph on the right again shows you the time of the first pollen popping. On the bottom, you can see the actual photographs of this would be a New Mexico 67 line. You can see there's one pollen grain that has ruptured. And at the same time, this is the Phytogen 72, and you can see large numbers of pollen grains have ruptured. So again, very dramatic, easy to score differences in the ability to uptake and lose water. On the left, we're showing you the germination of the pollen at 80% relative humidity versus 25% relative humidity. So the pollen is able to sense the humidity in the air, and it has an impact on pollen tube length. And we're showing you in the graph up above the differences in the pollen tube lengths. And again, the Acala Maxa and the Phytogen 72 are very sensitive to external humidity levels. So we went in and asked the question, what sort of competitiveness can we have both in optimum conditions, as would be we've seen in a greenhouse with nice humidities, controlled temperatures, and then also let's go back and look at the field and see what's happening in the field. We ran a competitive pollination experiment where we would go in and take the pollen from two separate genotypes and pollinate the stigma simultaneously. This shows you the distribution of pollen from a New Mexico 67, which has an orange pollen, versus the Greg 65. And you can see the distribution is relatively random throughout the styler tissue. The trait that we were looking at is we use a glandless cotton, Greg 65. It's a recessive trait shown here on the hypocotyledons, very easy to score. All six of the lines that we were testing are glanded, so it was a very easy way to go in, do competitive pollinations, and then ask the question of the seed that's produced, what proportion of them are glanded and which proportion are not. And just like to show you here, what we found was that the Phytogen 72, the Acala Maxa, and the Suregrow 248 all had enhanced pollination. They tended to germinate faster, fertilize more ovules than the Greg 65. You can see this is the number of glanded seedlings here versus the glandless. And these were all taken, pollinated on the Greg 65. So any glands had to come from the pollen that we were providing. The New Mexico 67, Delta Pine, and the Stoneville line all showed roughly equal proportions with the Greg 65 pollen. So if, in fact, we have an outcrossing possibility, under optimum humidity, temperature environments, the Phytogen, the Acala Maxa, and the Suregrow had a higher potential competitiveness for pollinating and getting more seeds produced than the parent plant itself. Now, what happens if we take it into a more harsh environment? So we walk outside the door and into the field, and this shows you a photograph of the layout of our experiment in 2008. The arrows delineate the 3-meter test plot for a particular line. And so here is one test material, here's another one, and then we have essentially 30 foot of glandless on either side. On the rows on either side of the test plot is a DeRuyter red cotton. It is a dominant trait, anthocyanin production. So we're able to look at pollen movement from the test material down a row, and we were also able to look at pollen movement from the sides into here. So we had some very easy ways to look at this. And the way we would score it is simply germinate the seedlings for about a week or 2 weeks, and then simply look at the hypocotyls. And this shows you an example of what the three possibilities are. You have the DeRuyter red derived seedling, which shows you lots of anthocyanin and glands. We have the test material from the six lines that we were looking at, which shows you the gossypol glands. And then we have the glandless seedling itself. And so we went through And we scored these, and this is just some preliminary data. Again, we've got these out of the field about a month and a half ago. This is the first series where we went in and took the the Delta Pine 565 and a Phytogen 72. And what we did was we took 3 meters on either side of the test plot, both north and south, and from all the replicates and ran them through here. And this shows you that, in fact, the Delta Pine 565 had a higher outcrossing percentage under dryland conditions than the 572. And again, this is consistent with what we might have predicted based upon the sensitivity of the phytogen pollen to humidity, that in fact, in a dry environment, it doesn't handle it as well, and it's less competitive. Now, the thing that's more interesting on top of that is the actual shape of the flower itself. Delta Pine 565 flowers tend to be open and very flat, whereas the Phytogen 72 has a very cup flower. And this is important when it comes to the pollinator. When the bee goes to get the nectar, in fact, on the Delta Pine line, it can come in, land on the open petals, walk up underneath all of the anthers, and it has minimal impact with the anthers and the pollen that's present in that parent flower. Unlike the Phytogen 72, the Acala, the cup flower has a tendency to push the bees into the anthers, so they end up getting more pollen associated. So in fact, we had the potential for more pollen to move from the Phytogen 72, but in fact, in the dryland environment, we found, in fact, there was less outcrossing. And again, the sensitivity of the pollen seems to be the trick. So in summary, what we're able to show is that under optimum conditions, that there is genetic diversity in the competitiveness of the pollen, that in fact, those pollen grains that tend to be dehydration sensitive also tend to germinate faster and are more competitive in a moist, good temperature environment. The pollen that is desiccation tolerant tends to germinate a little slower. But under field conditions, under the dry land component so far, we're able to show that even though they germinate slower, they're less competitive. In fact, there is a greater outcrossing potential because of the stability characteristics of the dehydration component of the pollen. The work is continuing. We have 4 more lines from the dry land and all 6 lines from the irrigated to analyze. So hopefully next year I can come back and give you the full update. We also have the measurements taken in 1 meter sections so we can actually show you the distribution of pollen movement down the field. You should know that the outcrossing down the length of the field, for instance, was about 10 to 15% in some of these plots. If you looked at the derider red movement across the field, it was only 2.5%. So the bees tend to go down the rows rather than across the rows, and it has an impact on the outcrossing as well. And with that, I'll end and answer any questions. Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.